This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's Almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
All right, good morning to you. Glad you're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show this morning. It is still dark 30, but guess what? It's going to be daylight savings time come Monday. So by this time of day, it's going to be daylight outside. It's going to be nice.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, so it'll be around, I think it's 1 a.m. on Saturday into Sunday.
Okay.
So at 1 a.m., your phone, assuming it's like an iPhone or something like that, and not the old school, you know, jitterbug or something, it should automatically go to 2. I remember that. This is sad, but I remember that in college, you know, because all the bars have to figure out when they're going to close. Because
right.
some of them would close at 1. Okay, well, so do you close at like mint? I mean, I guess you just close at 1, but it's actually 2.
Oh, no, you can just let it keep going and go all night.
I'm sure that students would like that.
I think I got that backwards. It's going to still be dark at this hour. It'll stay
be darker
later,
but then lighter in the morning.
It'll stay later. It'll stay light later in the day, which is the important thing.
But darker earlier. Like it'll be... The sun will be coming up for a little bit at, 7:30?
Yeah.
8
yeah.
for a little bit?
Yeah.
That'll be weird.
That Yeah, but that's okay because I'd rather have it, I prefer the daylight savings time. Let's just make it permanent. Don't forget to set your clocks back. You know, Carl Middleman out today. Obviously, Kim and I, Ethan is in here running the board. And Ethan, I got to tell you, dude, you got to step your game up here.
Why?
What's well, that? You know, for all the reasons we appreciate Carl Middleman,
yeah.
Probably one of the biggest ones for those of us who work the shift is that he makes coffee in the morning. And when he's not here, you go out to the coffee machines and they're all from yesterday. And you're like, wait a minute. If it wasn't for Carl, this would be like this every day. So I'm sorry to add one more thing to your list, but...
Do you know what? You want to know why I don't do it?
Because you don't drink it?
No, because Carl can get the clips that you guys send at his house at night.
Oh,
so when
okay.
I get here,
that's
I'm usually right. pulling information
hey,
for you guys.
I'm just kidding you. I went out. I went out and made the coffee a little earlier in that last break. So we've
Thank
got
you
coffee.
For that.
You
yes.
bet. Absolutely.
I weirdly had like a coffee aversion for like a month and a half. I cold turkey stopped. It just sounded disgusting to me.
Uh-huh.
I guess something to do with
well,
the pregnancy.
Yeah,
and now
sure
all of a sudden, because I'm not really sleeping much, thank you, pregnancy, I now really have decided I need coffee. So back to drinking it.
I'm not regularly a coffee drinker here because I bring my own cup from home in the morning and I rarely get through it before the show's over. So I don't often use the coffee out there, but on the instance that you did, so yeah, I just want to make sure people had some coffee this morning. I am not suggesting you have to add that to your job duties, Ethan. I'm
all
just giving
good.
You just giving a little bit of grief this morning. That's all. That's all. Hey, we got a great show for you. We got the governor coming on the 7 o'clock hour. Local control of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department is up there on his agenda right now, and we're waiting for the Senate to perfect that bill. It has passed the House. Then it would have to go back to the House if they changed anything, and then it could end up on the governor's desk. So we'll talk to him about that. We've got Senator Josh Hawley was in a hearing yesterday, had he's just so good at that cross-examination in those hearings, talking about anti-Semitism and how anybody could think it's okay to sympathize with what's going on some of these campuses. So we'll get to him about that as well. And all that's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. So be sure and stay tuned for that. Before the day's over, we'll talk about these school board races that are going on, particularly a big one out in the Francis Howell School District, if you're out there. We've got all that for you. But right now, let's get to the top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Isn't it ironic that one of the first things that Donald Trump talked about is how free speech is back in America? And now you're turning around saying you can't have free speech.
That's one of the Democrats mad yesterday that the House censured Al Green for acting like a juvenile on the floor of the House during the president's speech. These are the same people that voted to censure Joe Wilson back in 2009 because of something he shouted during Barack Obama's speech.
I want the cabinet members to keep good people. I don't want to see a big cut where a lot of good people are cut.
Yeah, President talking there yesterday to his cabinet saying, maybe pay a little bit closer attention to how you're making these cuts. We want them cut. We don't want the good people gone, but we do need to trim the fat.
Most of the publicity has been on the spending cuts. The tofu crowd is mad, but, you know, when you trim fat, pig squeal.
There again, my cut of the day, no doubt about it. Senator John Kennedy talking about all of the belly aching going on as we eliminate some of the waste in the federal government.
Some of them are doing a lot behind the scenes, but so many have chosen not to say anything publicly at all. And I wish you would stand up. I wish you would speak out.
Did you recognize that voice, Kim St. Ange?
Should I?
You should. Play that the tease again there. See if it comes to her.
Some of them are doing a lot behind the scenes, but so many have chosen not to say anything publicly at all. And I wish you would stand up. I wish you would speak out.
Oh, I know who it is. But here's, let me just say this. I am so bad at hearing a voice and knowing who it is. It's David Schwimmer.
It's Ross.
It's Ross from Ross, Friends.
Yeah.
It wasn't until the last, like, 5 seconds that there was some word he said that I could tell. I'm like, oh, that sounds like Ross.
I don't know what David Schwimmer's politics are. I don't know which way he leans. I don't remember being aware of him taking a strong comment one way or the other on politics of the day. But as a Jewish man, he is taking a pretty strong stance on anti-Semitism going on around the country. And yesterday, he called out the hypocrites in Hollywood, a lot of whom are Jewish, mm-hmm. who have said nothing while all of this is going on. There was another big protest yesterday in New York at one of the universities, a big pro-Hamas, anti-Jewish protest on these campuses. This has been going on for, well, since October 7th, it's gotten markedly worse. And, you know, good for the ones that are willing to stand up for their principles. Listen to David Schwimmer here, Ross from Friends. Go to cut 8, please.
Plenty of people I respect, even some of my heroes in entertainment, music, and sports, have chosen to keep a low profile and sit this one out, including some whose careers have been made by leaning into their Jewish identity.
Wow.
Wonder who he's referring to there specifically.
He did not name names. I don't know who he was talking about. But
he went. Adam Sandler?
I don't know.
Has Adam Sandler been outspoken about this? Because he absolutely has used his Jewish faith. I mean, he's not. I shouldn't say Jewish faith.
But I don't know who he was talking about, but he went on for a while. This was at an Anti-Defamation League dinner, it appeared. Go to cut 9 in its entirety, please.
And others who have won acclaim for playing Jews on screen. Some of them are doing a lot behind the scenes, privately, and in their own way. But so many have chosen not to say anything publicly at all. And if I can say something directly to them, I really wish you would. I wish you would stand up. I wish you would speak out, because your voice would be so meaningful to your fans who love you, to your community members who need you, to folks who could use just a little solidarity right now from people they respect and look up to.
Way to go, Ross.
I agree with what he's saying, and I wish more people would be outspoken and have the guts to say something publicly and not just privately. The problem is, yeah, you're going to, you know, please some of the other people who are Jewish, but you're going to upset a lot of the fans you do have who might be the crazy pro-Palestinian people. So I think that's where these fans been silenced. I don't agree with it, but I think they're worried that there are enough people who have that other mindset that their career could be at stake.
But I think there's more at stake here than just like who you support during a presidential election. This is discrimination that is leading to violence against Jewish people on American campuses.
It's become that political, though.
That shouldn't be something that you're afraid to stand up and give your opinion on. That should be easy.
It should, but the problem with our society is stuff like that has become political.
I know.
You know,
I know
it has.
But
stupid.
Good for David Schwimmer.
That, yes,
that
go
gave,
Ross.
Gave me a little bit of hope there for him. Coming up, we are going to talk about the leadership that the Democratic Party has now voted in to lead them into the midterm elections. And there's a long list of things they need to work on. I'm not sure taking the former chief of staff for Pocahontas is the solution to that. We're going to talk to Jeanette Hoffman about that coming up in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Man is on a roll. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Follow the show on Facebook. Facebook.com/The Mark Cox Show.
Are you ready to go on the offense?
Yeah!
We have to win back our young people. I am the only candidate in this race for any of these positions that is under 30. We had a 20-point shift to the right of our young people. We must show our young people we give a damn about them.
Yeah, you know who that is? I know you wouldn't recognize that voice, Kim. That is the one and only David Hogg, he was a student at Parkland when it happened. I don't think he was there the day the shooting happened. But he has become a complete mouthpiece for gun control in this country. And he is young. He's under 30 now still. And he's been elected as like vice chair of the DNC. To give you an idea of the direction that they're going at the DNC right now, that's one start. But there's been a new development. We've got Jeanette Hoffman with us. She's a political strategist, to president of Marathon Public Affairs. Jeanette, welcome in.
Hi, good morning, Mark. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you for giving us a few minutes this morning. Tell us about the new guy. Is it David Lau? Am I pronouncing his name correctly?
It's actually Roger Lau, but
Roger.
Yeah, you got it. And he was the mastermind behind the Elizabeth Warren for president campaign. So that kind of tells you a little bit about the direction where the Democrats are going. It doesn't seem like they've learned from their mistakes from November, and actually it seems like they're doubling down on the woke left.
No, I'm just saying he's the executive director below, I guess, the chair, Ken Martin, and then David Hogg, correct?
Yes, yes. And he was a former deputy executive director since 2021. So he's been there for quite some time. And I would say he's probably part of some of these bad mistakes that the Democratic National Committee has been making.
Yeah, I was looking a little bit at his resume here. And, you know, Elizabeth Warren made her own headlines during President Trump's speech the other night when he pointed her out. What's your take on this? I mean, we've talked about this a lot the last few days here. The Democratic Party seems lost, and in my opinion, they don't seem to grasp yet why they lost so badly in November.
Yeah, I mean, this is not your mom and dad's working class Democratic Party, you know, blue collar party of the people. This has become the party of the woke left. And I think that's where they've gone off course. And it's not, you know, just the extremes as it used to be. It's taken over the ideology of the entire party. And that's where they've lost the American people. It doesn't seem like they've learned from their mistakes of November. If you just look at that joint session to Congress the other day and Donald Trump's speech, you know, holding up these weird bingo paddles, and, you know, they couldn't even stand for a child with brain cancer. They couldn't stand for a 95-year-old mother of a Russian in captivity American release. They couldn't stand for the mother of Lake and Riley. I mean, what do you stand for as a member of Congress at this point?
Literally and figuratively.
Yes, exactly. It seems like they want to be professional protesters rather than productive members of Congress. So, you know, I think they need to take a hard look in the mirror, but it doesn't seem like they want to go that route, and they just want to keep doubling down on these woke policies.
This is the first I'm hearing of this guy. What do you think he feels is necessary to win over, in particular, the young voters that were going really more conservative in this last election?
I don't know. Listen, I don't know him personally. And look, maybe to his credit, he has some brilliant mastermind strategy to turn around the Titanic. But it seems like they're digging into, you know, with David Hogg, who, you know, is pretty far left to me. It seems like the organization is still going down that track and going down the leftist route. And, you know, maybe you'll get some of the younger college protester types. But I don't think you're winning back the working class people that you lost in this past election.
No, Jeanette Hoffman is our guest. So just different subject for a minute. What do you think about Gavin Newsom's flip-flop on the transgender issue? I mean, I think it's complete strategery, right?
Oh, yes, totally. I mean, Gavin Newsom is reading the tea leaves, and he's like, hey, yeah. My party's going in the wrong direction right now. I better make some news and try and come back to the middle. But, you know, listen, I don't buy it, because what he's doing in California is the exact opposite. If you look at his record, he's part of, you know, some of the investigations into school districts, you know, of school districts who are sending out notices on parental notification on this issue. So, you know, he may, you know, read the room and say, hey, my party's going too far to the left and we need to protect women's sports. But in actuality, he's doing the opposite in California. But, you know, this all goes to show you how far down the wrong path the Democratic Party is going by not protecting women in women's sports and allowing biological males to compete.
It seems like a no-brainer for sure. Jeanette Hoffman, thank you for your time this morning.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Mark. Have a great day.
You bet. You too. You as well. Yeah. she sees the same thing in Newsom that I do. That's making all the headlines this morning, the Charlie Kirk interview. We talked about it last hour, where he suddenly decided it's men and women's sports is just not fair, and his fellow liberals are melting down, and what he's just done is position himself for that big chunk of the Democratic Party that agrees that it's just not fair. Rest of them can't see it. We're going to be back, check a business, here in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned. This may require a little bit of explanation for those of you just tuning in. That, of course, is the music selected this morning by Ethan, who won Real or Fake on Tuesday morning. So, Ethan,
yeah.
Explain what that song is here.
It's Turnpike Troubadours, one of my favorite bands.
Okay, nice.
Good choice.
I got to see them at the Red Rocks out in Colorado, which is amazing.
I'll bet.
Go do it if you've ever been there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mark might claw his eyeballs out listening to country.
I know. I'm like,
no.
It's all country, Mark.
I don't mind country. I've actually, my roots are in bluegrass music, and I only say that because as a young child strapped into the back seat of a car, well, back then maybe not even strapped into the back seat of a car, my father would play bluegrass music constantly.
Doesn't your daughter Ginger love country music?
She likes modern country music. So yeah I can listen.
Morgan Wallen.
I can listen to it. It's not what I'm going to turn on if I'm in charge of the radio, but that's okay.
This is mostly country music that probably doesn't really get played on the radio.
What did you call it? Alternative?
Yeah, alternative country.
Alternative country music.
Americana.
I liked it.
Nice.
Good choice.
Yeah.
Well done. All right. just wanted to explain that, since you didn't hear nearly as much Sammy Hagar and Van Halen and other Carl Middleman selections as normal on this Friday.
When you win, you can play all that, Mark.
Thank you. When I win. That'll be next week, buddy.
Don't hold your breath.
Thank you. Next week. All right. Let's get to Nicole, please. Nicole Murray, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You a country music fan?
It's okay. I'll dabble with it, but it's definitely not my go-to.
What's your go-to?
Probably like hip-hop, R&B, that whole kind of, you know, the kind that you like move your hips to.
Nice.
Yeah.
Kim?
Yeah.
I'm more country, Christian, or like Frank Sinatra type,
nice.
You know, like Perry Como. Oh. And I'm kind of like the oldies gal. I grew up listening to that stuff with my parents. And okay. I just love it. It's comforting to me.
You know, Carl, who's normally in here producing in the mornings, is also works over at our local Enterprise Center here, the stadium where they host a lot of basketball tournaments and concerts. And he's the music director for the St. Louis Blues. And he showed me his playlist yesterday. Of course, you know, I'm getting old. I get that. But they have to play warm-up music for these kids that are on the basketball court getting ready to warm up for these basketball tournaments, and it was all I didn't recognize a single song yet on the board yesterday. It was all the hip-hop and all that stuff that people are playing for their I guess amp up music or whatever you call it.
That is what you call reality jamming? Smacking you in the face.
Yeah. No, well, I wasn't jamming to it, but Carl was just showing me the list. I'm like, I don't know any of those songs. That's funny.
Well, it's like Kendrick Lamar. I'm like, I'm sorry. I could not name a single song. I'm sure you like Kendrick Lamar, Nicole, but I'd never heard, I think there was one song that sounded familiar to me, but I would never been able to say, oh, that's Kendrick Lamar.
It's probably not like us that you know.
I recognized one word out of the whole thing, Drake. That's it. That's it. That's it.
Woo!
That's the only thing I picked up out of the whole
shots fired.
Yeah. What's going on?
All right, so futures are slightly higher ahead of key inflation data later this morning. Thursday, the Dow Industrials lost 427, the NASDAQ down 483, the S&P 500 down 104. Boeing's management needs to shape up, listen more to frontline employees, and communicate better. That's according to CEO Kelly Ortberg as he took questions about a poor management culture. Citing employee feedback from a company survey, he said their voice needs to be heard. Speaking in person to employees in St. Louis and via webcast to Boeing's other facilities, Ortberg presented a progress report on his efforts to change Boeing's culture. A new golf equipment store will open in St. Louis this fall. PGA Tour Superstore, a golf equipment, accessories, and clothing chain, is slated to open its first Missouri location at 141 Highlands Boulevard Drive in the Manchester Highlands Shopping Center. The over 35,000 square foot store is currently under construction. A Kansas City ice cream chain is eyeing St. Louis for further expansion this year. Betty Ray's Ice Cream plans to open a store in the region this summer with more on the way. That's according to the company's owner, Matt Shadow. Shadow hopes to establish up to 5 Betty Ray locations in the region. Markets will get another snapshot into the health of the labor market when the Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics releases its February non-farm payrolls. Economists expect growth of 170,000 jobs. This is up from 143,000 in January, with the unemployment rate holding steady at 4%. Data drops at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Challenger, Gray & Christmas has reported U.S. employers announced just over 172,000 layoffs for February. This is up 245% from January and the highest monthly count since July of 2020. And finally, a new report reveals that 60% of parents confess they miss their late-night escapades at the club before they had kids. To help make up for it, two-thirds of parents try to recreate their clubbing days by playing old-school favorite tunes with their kids.
Stranger Things did that for me. We didn't have to do that. Stranger Things started bringing back all the music from the 70s and 80s, and my daughter got familiar with a lot of those songs. My older kids, Glee did that for them.
Okay.
Right?
Glee.
I didn't have to pretend I was clubbing.
It's funny. I don't miss those days. I actually asked my husband this the other day. I'm like, do you miss that? Like the times before we had kids? And he said, you know, of course there's little parts of it where you kind of miss being able to jet off wherever you want to go.
Or freedom.
The spontaneity of it. But he's like, but I would never, ever trade it for what I have now and the
good
joy
answer,
of being a father.
Michael.
I mean, yeah, he's so plugged in with Easton, which is awesome. But it's funny, Nicole, because I was watching some video on social media or something, and it was joking about how, you know, our parents' era was like, you know, the Frank Sinatra and the Beatles and all these things. So when you say, hey, kids, let me show you what music I used to listen to, it was like good, wholesome music. And now if we play it, it's like Usher and 50 Cent and curse words and just things that are very inappropriate. And it was just, it's so relatable.
So relatable.
Sorry, kids. This is what mom and dad used to listen to growing up.
This
I'm not proud.
Can't have nice things, but it's fine.
That's funny.
I don't know if I miss those days. I miss like the shenanigans, but like I can't do late night stuff anymore. Like you want to do bottomless brunch, you want to, you know,
yeah,
do
happy
like,
hour,
all right, I'm
maybe
all for it.
Yeah,
but that late night stuff, I can't do that anymore.
So I know you had to be joking the other day when you said you went to bed at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, right?
No,
no.
Oh my gosh, Nicole, no. Are you in your 30s or are you in your 80s?
I'm in my
30s, but I had mono really bad when I was in third grade. And so my mom said after that, my sleeping patterns changed and never went back to quote unquote normal. So I've always needed more sleep than the average bear. But I'm dead serious. Sometimes I go to bed as early as 4 o'clock.
Holy cow. Because that like rules you out of happy hour. What are you doing?
Well, happy hour starts at 3 o'clock.
Well, you just move it back a little bit.
Plus, on Fridays, like I'll stay up on Fridays when there's not a 2 a.m. alarm going off. That's a little different.
That is the best.
I'm doing my best over here. Okay, don't judge me.
Well, enjoy your sleep this weekend.
My beauty sleep.
Your
yes.
Beauty sleep.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Nicole.
Bye, guys.
All right. Bye. So I was intrigued by that story she read about Betty Ray's ice cream. Apparently, it's in Kansas City already, and it's coming over here.
Had you heard of it?
I had not. But I wanted to find out what made them think they could compete with Andy's or Clementine's or Ted Drew's or whatever the case happened to be. And the guy said that he's not worried about it. He thinks there's enough space in the St. Louis market for everybody because they have stuff that the other people don't have. So I don't know how you feel about this. Their flavor offerings include lavender honey.
Sounds good.
Cereal milk.
Yes.
Really?
What? Cereal milk is the best. That's what you drink, the cereal milk.
I enjoy drinking cereal milk. I just haven't thought of it being an ice cream.
Oh, yeah. I would
sounds
get that
better
flavor.
Than lavender.
Cinnamon,
lavender would be good.
Matcha, and more. Gooey butter cake.
Yep.
So they sell homemade waffle cones, ice cream swamiches, and
I'm sorry, what was that?
Sundaes and ice cream
swamiches.
Swamich, make me a swamich.
Ice cream sandwich. A cereal crisp cookie plus cereal and milk ice cream.
Okay.
Sign me up.
It doesn't say here where they're going to open up, but they're hoping to establish up to 5 of them in the St. Louis area.
Wow. Okay, so they have one in Waldo, Missouri, and I'll be honest. Okay, that's near Kansas City. Never heard of that. Mm-hmm. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They have 6 locations currently.
Well, it describes it as a Kansas City chain. So apparently that's maybe where they originated. Coming soon to the crowded ice cream market in St. Louis.
Come to St. Charles. There's a place in St. Charles. Was it like Bear something? And it used to be in Old St. Charles on 5th Street, or Main Street, I'm sorry. And it closed, and it was so good. There's another ice cream place there that's good. So, nope, not, you know,
not
any
hurting.
Ice cream place I'm happy with, pretty much. But there was one that was so good, and they had, they had the big breakfast. Now I'm hungry again. The big ice cream sandwiches, and have you not been there? I'm blanking on
someone. I'm sure if it was in Old Town St. Charles over the years, I'm sure I was probably in there. Yeah.
Like Big Bear or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We do have in other news coming up next hour, Governor Mike Kehoe and Senator Josh Hawley. We'll ask him what's going on in D.C. and Jeff City with that crime bill for sure regarding the St. Louis Metropolitan PD. We'll be back in just a minute. Melody
sings just like a bird. The Mark Cox Morning Show
on 97.1 FM Talk.
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Well, if you're in the market for a used vehicle, you're in luck, because there's this new study from IC Cars that looked at over 700,000 used car sales and odometer readings to determine which 5 and 10-year-old vehicles had the longest lifespan for the lowest price. Any guesses on the number one car?
The longest lifespan and the lowest price.
Mm-hmm. And they're looking at 5 and 10-year-old vehicles.
So the price is what's tricking me here a little bit. But, man, we had a Honda minivan that we drove it to like 220,000 miles, and I'm sure it's probably still on the road somewhere. I don't know. Honda?
It is a Honda, yeah.
Is it?
The
okay.
Honda Fit.
Okay.
Takes the top spot. So it sells for an average of just over 18,000.
Yeah, those...
Estimated to last you about 11.6 years. I guess past maybe the 5 or 10 is my understanding of it.
So that's average, I'm assuming, right?
Yes.
That's the average?
That's the average, right.
Huh. And for a low price off the top, which a Honda minivan would not be.
Right. The Volkswagen Passat came in second. Buick Encore came in third. Number 5, Honda Civic. I know those are really popular. And then they had one for the best used truck. And
yes.
SUVs for the money. So the best truck, they say, is the Nissan Frontier.
Hmm. Not for storage space or hauling anything, just because it drives for the longest?
Because of the price and how long it lasts. They say it costs you just shy of $24,000 and will last you an additional 9 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
But you're not going to be able to haul anything with it. So I mean, just bragging for a minute, and I'll knock on wood here. My truck turned 10 years old this year in 2020. It's a 2015. Mm-hmm. 140,000 miles on it, running like a top. It's a Dodge Ram 1500. I've loved it. It's been very reliable. But, I mean, I didn't buy it new. Brand new was probably a $55,000 vehicle. So there goes the cheap argument out the door.
Yeah, that's the way to go. Good for you.
Yeah.
But it also matters if you're taking care of the car. You know, a car's likely to last a lot longer if you're getting oil changes and, you know, tire rotation, things like that.
Maintenance.
Yes, maintenance. Yeah. And thank goodness my husband does that.
Yeah,
okay.
How's your Ford doing?
So far, so good.
Yeah, what year is it?
It's 17.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
Right.
Chugging along.
Sue, I know you just got married, so this is for you. A new poll by wedding planning site Zola reveals that 51% of engaged couples are open to using artificial intelligence to write their wedding vows. They looked at, they talked to rather 6,000 engaged couples. They also found that the average wedding cost in 2024 reached a record $36,000, with 74% of couples willing to exceed their budget.
Yeah.
That's
not happening. $36,000. That's outrageous. I remember, okay, when my niece, one of my nieces got married, probably 10 years ago, my brother, who, of course, is the father of the bride, said, here is the amount of money you get. Now, you can do a wedding for that amount and do a smaller one and save all the rest and put it down on a house, or you can just spend this amount. And I think that's kind of the way to go, because you could just give them that amount and let them go or not, and they can determine what they want to do. And P.S., the figure was not $36,000.
No.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot.
What a waste of money.
Yeah, think about the down payment you could put on a home, you know, if you were just to use that money. I don't know.
I've heard bigger amounts than that thrown around.
Oh, easily.
People that have money to burn, clearly.
Double
but
that, I've
60,
heard.
70, $80,000.
And
wow.
The divorce rate is what, 50% right now? Yeah. So you think about, oh, man, I just can't imagine.
I might want to kill someone if that happened. But yeah.
All right. Listen to this. A teenage Michael Jordan's handwritten love letter to his high school sweetheart is now up for auction, bidding starting at $10,000. Two-page lined notebook paper dated May 20th, 1981. He has cursive handwriting and some misspellings, which I like. 18 years old at the time, and he was supposedly telling his love that basketball comes first. He said, "You are my whole life, but you can't have basketball." He also hints at his future success, writing, "One day I hope to make a living of this."
Wow.
$10,000.
$10,000. Like, but what, you know, if you're the person that he wrote it to, wouldn't it be more valuable to you hanging on your wall?
One of those two.
Instead of somebody he didn't write it to? Hey, look, I've got Michael Jordan's love letter over there. I mean, come on. That's
people
dumb.
Buy anything.
I know.
I mean, they buy strands of hair.
If
a celebrity spit into a cup, you could probably auction that off for a lot of money. It's sad.
Come on. George Harrison's toast just sold.
Yep.
Yeah, touche. That's disgusting. What do you do with that? A new study published in Nature Medicine suggests that the average human brain may contain about 7 grams of microplastics. And to give you some idea of how much that is, that's equivalent to about a plastic spoon. So we have about a plastic spoon's worth of microplastics in our brain.
How?
And they're saying that the plastic levels that have been found in human brains increased significantly between 2016 and 2024, with the highest concentrations observed in individuals with dementia.
Water bottles? I don't know.
Maybe.
Like it had to penetrate the blood-brain barrier and all that to get into your brain, and
Well, they were also found in the liver and the kidneys, but the brain sample specifically had 7 to 30 times higher concentrations of these microplastics.
Is it Legionin?
I don't know.
Sue's saying from the water bottles
or something. Glass everything, I guess. Don't microwave stuff in plastic. I've learned that. One quick one. New research reveals that the scented wax melts you've seen that are really popular, that have often been looked at as a safer alternative to candles, well, they may pose health risk by releasing these harmful airborne nanoparticles. They conducted this study that found that they can release all sorts of stuff that's just awful, gets into the bloodstream, it can be inhaled. So basically, just don't burn anything. Don't put anything
I'll just
in your
have
home.
To stop buying those. I've got them all over.
Don't live in a plastic bubble, though, because then the nanoplastics will get in your brain.
It's just like anything else. Don't eat it. Do eat it. It's dangerous today. It's a great tomorrow.
Yep.
Who could keep up?
Sue Thomas is absolutely right. All right, coming up, Governor Mike Kehoe. Stay tuned.